Hello, this is Susan, and for the next half hour, I will be reading from the July through August 2025 issue of The German Citizen on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The first article I would like to read is entitled For the Love of the Bug, and it was written by Dana Wadowski. The Volkswagen Association of Western New York is for VW enthusiasts around the area who share the love for the car. The club was formed in 1956 and then again in 1987. According to the current club member and past vice president, Alan Schussler, the first club, CWNY, was formed in 1956 by first-time VW bug and bus owners. They banded together to assist one another in the maintenance and enjoyment of this unique automobile, Schussler stated. The club held monthly meetings and had Wagon Wheels, a monthly publication. And by 1976, the club faded away. Schussler said the people began to move from the novelty and strengths of the bug and bus, and most moved into domestic vehicles. He and his wife were active members during the first club's years. They joined the current club, VW AWNY, in 1992. The current association was formed in 1987 by a group interested in restoring old VW bugs and buses. This group also has monthly meetings and a publication, Keynotes, which is now online. Membership is $25 a year and includes the monthly meetings, outings, cruises, tech sessions, and annual picnic, as well as an annual holiday party. The main event, a VW car show, usually brings 30 to 35 cars. Current membership is around 75. VW ownership is not a requirement to join the association, although most of the members have vintage cars. Schussler stated that the new members keep coming our way, and several are involved in the restoration process of a bug, bus, or GIA. Most of our members are simply enjoying driving and maintaining their cars. The VWA WNY also has charities they contribute to, including delivering Thanksgiving meals for Meals on Wheels and volunteering time with Serve Niagara to provide Christmas meals. In the past, members supported and volunteered with Buffalo City Mission, Ronald McDonald House, and Mercy Flight. Upcoming events include German Blossom Fest, German Air Car Show, VW Night at Akron, Thursday Cruise Night, annual VW AWNY Car Show and Cruise, an annual VW AWNY and VW Night at Cruisin' at the Wurlitzer. Past events they have participated in include Covered Bridge Tour and Picnic, Dubs in the Lake Campout, Hot Dogs and Beaches Cruise, Cruise to Ellicottville, 4th of July Parade, Niagara Falls Memorial Day Parade, Letchworth Hot Air Balloon Festival, Camp Out, Canal Fest, and Taste of Clarence. Schuessler and his wife just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary, and they have had 6 VW Bugs, a Westie Vanagon, and a 412 Wagon through the years. He currently owns a 1967 Bug that he purchased in 1992 when they joined the VW-AWNY. He said, "Yes, VWs have been a big part of our lives." Next, we have a new date for the 2025 Buffalo German Fest. The annual German Fest celebration kicks off the start of Oktoberfest season at Cheektowaga Town Park. The German-American musicians, Buffalo's big German band, brings their high energy and authentic German Blaskapile to Cheektowaga Town Park the weekend before Labor Day weekend this year. To kick off the festivities, gates open at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, August 22nd, with music from 6 to 10 p.m. We had a record number in attendance for the Friday night celebration and are excited for more of the same this year, said Melanie Knowles, spokeswoman for the Buffalo German Fest. We pride ourselves in offering an authentic beer garden festival, which is family friendly and educational. It's important to keep the culture and Germalink alive. Normally, this event takes place Labor Day weekend. However, the committee has decided to move it up a week, allowing their dedicated volunteers the opportunity to relax and spend time with family before the busy Oktoberfest season starts. Gemma Douglas, and I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, is a term that the Germans use to simply mean being in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. That perfectly describes the goal of the Federation of German American Societies of Buffalo and Vicinity. This event originated in Schiller Park back in 1982 and then moved to Cheektowaga Town Park in 1994, where it has been held ever since, Knowles stated. Back then, the German cultural organizations were flourishing. Unfortunately, over the years, many of the German clubs in the area have folded. Besides the festival being the Federation's biggest fundraiser of the year for these member organizations, it is also a recruitment tool. The festivities continue Saturday, August 23rd from noon till 9 p.m. with music provided by the Polka Boys from 1 to 4 p.m. and the Berghals German Band from 5 to 9 p.m. There will also be Bavarian dance performances provided by the SGTV Idlewise Schoenplatter dancers throughout the day. Festival goers will be able to try a variety of German delicacies or enjoy a fun twist on familiar dishes. And don't forget to bring your steins so you can properly sample and toast the refreshing German beers being offered. Don't have a stein? Not a problem. Before visiting the beer tent to quench your thirst, peruse the vendors in the Marketplatz area specializing in German steins, merchandise, and other delectable treats. Attendees can also participate in the free keg tapping ceremony or one of the many contests planned throughout the weekend, such as the ever popular Stein Hoist celebration or the adorable Hummel look-alike contest or stomach-challenging sauerkraut eating contest. Make sure you bring the kids too. There will be a kinder area on Saturday. Are you a car or motorcycle enthusiast? The Buffalo German Fest is partnering with the BMW Car Club to bring a European car and motorcycle show from noon until 4 p.m. on Saturday. Admission tickets can be purchased at the door for $5, with children 12 and under free. Pre-sale tickets will be available online soon, where you can take advantage of their festival specials. Interested in placing an ad or patron in their special edition program book? Contact Buffalo German Fest at gmail.com. They are still looking for sponsors, vendors, and volunteers to make this year's Buffalo German Fest the most memorable yet. I encourage anyone who is interested in having a good time and learning about German culture to attend, said Melanie. It's always fun to see some of the festival attendees dressed in their proper Dremels or Wandhosen, enjoying the festivals and singing Um Posch der Guten whatever at the top of their lungs. Even the youngest members of the audience get into it, and it's quite an adorable sight. For more information, you can check their website at www.buffalogerman.com or Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Buffalo German Fest or email BuffaloGermanFest@gmail.com. The Federation of German American Societies of Buffalo and Vicinity Incorp is a not-for-profit cultural organization whose purpose shall be to further the common goals and interests of its members in regard to preservation and perpetuation of German customs, traditions, songs, sports, language, and establishing of mutual fellowship. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the German Citizen on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. And now an article by Martin Ederer. Graz, Austria's second largest city. Graz, G-R-A-Z, like the federal state of Steiermark, for which it serves as capital, is a lusciously Austrian story of multiple ethnicities mixing and mingling, namely Germanic and Slavic, especially Slavalian people. Some historians cite evidence that the city's name derives from Gradec, a name denoting a small castle or settlement. Austria's prosperous second-largest city is very much a distant second to Vienna, and therefore maintains a much more regional character. The entire region of Steiermark sits astride what were two Roman provinces, Pannonia, roughly analgesia to a modern-day Hungary and Slovenia, and more Celtic and Germanic Noricum, again with ethnic consequences. Steiermark was named for the Steyr River, which at one point donated a boundary of what became a march, hence Mark in German, which denoted heavily defended medieval border zones presided over by margraves, or in the French, which is more familiar to us, marquises. Ironically, the Steyr River is no longer in or at Steiermark, nor is the very important industrial city of Steyr. All of that stated, there is no evidence that Graz was continuously settled until the Middle Ages, making it a rather young city by Southern Central European standards. Graz's possible Slavic name notwithstanding, German Bavarians set up a parallel settlement to the slightly older Slovene Wendisch Gritz by calling their settlement Borisch Gritz. The Badenburg rulers of Austria made Graz an important market and commerce center in the 1100s. After Babenberg rule falters, Steiermark and Graz both came under rule of Hungary and Bohemia. The march also lost territory, including the city of Steyr, which up to this time was the capital. In 1282, the Habsburg dynasty reunified Austrian territory and extended their rule over Steiermark and Graz. In 1379, the inner Austrian cadet line of the Habsburg dynasty established Graz as its residence, ruling not only Steiermark and Carinthia, Austria, but also Slovenia, as well as Carniola, Grazia, Granadisa, and Triset, which are currently border areas of Slovenia, Croatia, and Italy. Under Habsburg rule, much of the historic city's iconic street plan and landmarks took place, thanks in part to Italian Renaissance architects and artists. And when the Steiermark line of the Habsburg ascended the imperial throne in 1619, they relocated to Vienna. And by that time, Graz had survived Hungarian expansion under Matthias Corvinus and also Ottoman Turkish expansion attempts in the 1500s. Graz was the only fortification in the region that never fell to the Ottoman Turks. Graz also found itself on the front lines of the Protestant Reformation, which found fertile ground there until Protestants were banned from the city in 1600. A notable Protestant astronomer who had discovered epological planetary orbits, Johannes Kepler, was forced to pack up and move on to Prague. Graz's fortunes during the Napoleon era were mixed. Napoleonic armies occupied Graz in 1797 and again in 1805. When the French returned for the third time in 1809, Graz was an open city, but the fortress above the city had other ideas. 800 men held out against 3,000 French troops until Napoleon's defeat of Austrian forces at Vienna led to a treaty that effectively sold out the Graz fortress. The embittered French began to blow up the fortress as permitted by the treaty, But the people of Graz could not bear to lose their beloved clock tower at the fortress. They paid a ransom to save it. Graz has been a university town since 1585, although the fortunes of the university constituted a bumpy political ride thanks to the Reformation and Emperor Joseph II's secular politics in the 1700s. Nikola Tesla studied electrical engineering at the University of Graz in 1875. The next major challenge for Graz was regional. Defeat in World War I cost Steiermark much of its territory. Lower Steiermark, which has only local and not judicial meaning, was awarded to Yugoslavia. And in the process, Austria lost the major towns of Marburg, Silesia, and Poitou. And after Nazi Germany annexed Austria, nearby communities were annexed to Graz to create a municipal form of government. During World War II, Graz suffered 56 Allied bombings from the U.S. 15th Army Force stationed in Foggia. Robust defense, pre-preparations, thanks in a large part to forced labor, kept deaths below 2,000. And as Soviet forces approached Graz, numerous citizens decided to flee. Those identified as defenders were expected to stay and fight as they awaited a scorched earth order that ultimately did not happen amidst internal squabbling amongst the SS leadership, but not before a massacre of forced laborers and resistance fighters. The Soviets occupied Graz, and then the British followed. The well-preserved old town of Graz enjoys the distinction of being a UNESCO World Heritage Site, that was in 1999, as well as having been named the Cultural Capital of Europe in 2003, and the City of Culinary Delights, and that was in 2008. And next, we have an article entitled Mourning and the 1800s Event at Historic Concordia Cemetery. Western New Yorkers took a step back in time to December 21st, 1883, to attend the wake of a 9-month-old Jacob Dial at Historic Concordia Cemetery, 438 Walden Avenue, Buffalo, on May 10, 2025. The interactive display was part of a Mourning in the 1800s event and presentation featuring local author, historian, and lecturer Tim Shaw. Participants were able to discover how superstitions and traditions, such as covering mirrors and photographs with black crepe fabric, art made from human hair, and mortuary jewelry came to be. Also, they heard about the mourning period for men and women and what the fashions were like. Phrases like basket case and dead ringer had their roots during the 1800s. Reverend Tim Shaw is the author of Ghost of Buffalo, Please Talk to Me, The True Story of the C2D1 Hauntings, Haunted Rochester, In the Dogma of Me, and Reverend Zami's Common Sense Look, Divination. He is the acclaimed radio host of the Cat of the Black Cat E. His broadcast credits include Discovery Channel's Ghost Law, SYFY's Ghost Hunters, Spike's Ghost Ops, and Destination America's Paranormal Lockdown. A frequent contributor on the Travel Channel, he has appeared on America's Most Terrifying Places, A Haunting, and Portals to Hell. Next, we have Hilby, the skinny German jello boy, a whirlwind of absurd talent and comedy. If you've ever found yourself belly laughing while simultaneously in awe of someone balancing on a unicycle, juggling machetes, or spouting sharp-witted one-liners in a thick German accent, you've likely encountered Hibbley, the skinny German juggle boy. A one-man tornado of physical comedy, slapstick antics, and skillful circus artistry, Hilby has carved out a unique niche in the world of performance that defies easy categorization. Born and raised in Germany, Hilby, whose real name is Matthias Schlimp, began his performance journey in Europe before taking his act global. His style is a chaotic blend of silent film-era physical comedy, vaudeville timing, and high-level technical skills. That would be juggling, stilt walking, contortionism, and all-around circus prowess. What sets him apart, though, is the complete unpredictability of his act. One minute he's silently miming a surreal routine, the next he's commanding the stage with cheeky crowd interaction and jokes that bounce between goofy and razor sharp. Dressed in eclectic patched-together clothing with wild expressions and hair to match, Hilby bills himself as the skinny German juggle boy and embraces the absurdity of the title with complete commitment. His personification plays up an awkward, lanky physicality, which he seems to maximize comedic effect. He often feigns confusion, embarrassment, or surprise, only to reveal that every pratfall, every twisted limb, every dropped prop was all a part of the meticulously choreographed plan. His audiences love most about what they love most about Hilby is his connection with the crowd. He's a master improviser, weaving spontaneous moments into his act depending on the reactions of the onlookers. No two shows are ever quite the same. He might pull a child from the audience to help him with a ridiculous magic trick, or heckle a skeptical dad in the front row while balancing a spoon on his nose. In a world where entertainment often leads on slick polish or digital effects, Hilby thrives in the raw human chaos of live performances. He embodies the spirit of street theater at its best, deeply personal, slightly unhinged, and absolutely unforgettable. Whether you're 5 or 95, chances are you'll walk away from a Hilby show laughing, blinking, and wondering what just happened. And that's exactly how he likes it. You've been listening to articles and features from the July and August issue of The German Citizen. Your reader has been Susan, and thank you for listening.